Podcasting 2.0 for August 29th, 2025, episode 232, RF Bigot. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. That's right. We are an association of sorts. We've got no bylaws, no articles of incorporation. We don't even know what we're really doing, but we do talk about podcasting, what has been, what is, and will always be. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that has liquid in our glass. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who eats LLM bot traffic for breakfast. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
So, on my way, if people...
A funny thing happened on my way to Doha, yes?
Yeah, on my way to the podcast, I do this show on my lunch break.
Yes, we are aware.
So the typical pattern is I get home at 12:15, so I have 15 minutes to get in the door and get some sort of lunch put together and get on the mic.
Yes.
And that usually goes off without a hitch because I'm a very habitual person and I do the same thing every day. Beef milkshake, salad, these kinds of things.
Yes.
It's the same. Yeah.
Funny how you are like that.
Yeah. So I put the beef milkshake together as I usually do in the blender bottle or the blender. It's like a ninja bullet thing.
Yeah,
you know, so you flip it upside. It's like upside down on the blender.
I'm very familiar with the bullet concept. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I put all my ingredients in there. The beef milkshake is this. The beef milkshake is 12 ounces of 2% milk, one scoop of Equip chocolate beef protein powder, grass fed beef protein powder. A scoop of pure whey protein isolate and a scoop of creatine.
Oh, creatine. Yeah, creatine. Yeah. Everyone's all jitty about the creatine.
And three ice cubes. That is the recipe for the beef milkshake for many years now.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to guess either one of the elements was not available or you forgot one or you put something wrong in there.
Wrong on all counts.
Okay. I will go back in my hovel.
In order to understand what happened, you have to understand that the Equip beef protein it's hydrolyzed, which means it's hydrolyzed.
It's a grease lightning. Yeah.
Which means they make it where it is water, it is liquid soluble, but it's not by nature liquid soluble. So it has to be conditioned, you know. And then, so even in its hydrolyzed state, it's still kind of resistant. It doesn't want to mix. Like it doesn't want to be.
It wants to clump. It wants to clump more than anything. Yes, I understand.
Yeah. You know how if you just dump like cocoa powder into milk or something, it just doesn't want to mix.
You'll wind up burning your throat when you swallow that clump.
Yeah. So that's the way this stuff behaves. So it just sort of like before I blend it, it just sits on top. It just kind of is floating on top of the milk. So what happens, I throw my ice cubes in, throw my milk in, throw the beef protein powder in, all this first on top of the milk, then the whey protein, then the creatine. I'm reaching over to get the top to put on the thing, and as I'm reaching over, I hit the open blender container and beef protein and unblended
everywhere.
It went all over the place. The entire thing went all over the counter, down behind in every crevice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh shit. And so I run and grab some towels and stuff. And as the milk spread out really wide, the beef protein powder began to sort of like do its thing and sink in. And so by the time I even got to be like scrubbing it up and cleaning it up, it had formed this really, this like pasty chocolate glue all over the countertop.
Yeah, this is very bad.
I just finally had to just leave it. I got it about halfway cleaned up. I hope my wife does not come home midstream of the podcast.
That's exactly. You want to make sure she doesn't come home before you have a chance to clean it up. I had something similar happen. We got one of those one-shot French press deals. Are you familiar with this? I don't know
the one-shot. What's that?
Well, it's a plastic tube and has a screw-on cap on the bottom. You put a little filter paper in there. You screw it back on. You put your coffee in, and then you pour your coffee in you have it on top of the mug, and then you press down on a plunger. So this
makes a single shot espresso.
French press, single shot of French press.
Okay.
But I had a big mug, and so I'm pouring the hot water in. I'm like, this is a big mug. I'm going to pour a little more in. So I'm just pouring, and it was kind of like a bottomless pit because it's obviously going into the cup, and I'm just waiting. It's a pour, and then I press the plunger down. The cup overflows, coffee grinds everything, goes all over the counter and into the drawer underneath, which of course is Tina's junk. We all have a junk drawer. And with Tina, there's no such thing. It's a neatly organized papers, all kinds of important documents. Oh, yeah. And that happened with her standing right there. So, but I didn't have a chance to save any. There was no saving it. The papers are stuck together. Yeah, it's the worst when you make a mess in the kitchen and your wife finds out.
Right now in my kitchen, it looks like somebody got up on the counter and just took a dump. It's basically just like this big blob of brown goo.
So you don't even have a lunch, basically.
No, I had a nut. That's why I couldn't finish cleaning it up, because I had to hastily make another beef milkshake.
Oh man!
You know what made me the most angry is that the Equip beef milkshake, the Equip beef protein, is like super expensive. Mm-hmm. It's like $60 a bag. And I was like, man, that's like a buck. That's like $1.75 sitting on my counter.
Wow. Wow. No, I'm sorry, brother.
But I'm getting through. I have turkey pepperoni, some nuts, and a beef milkshake.
Yes. Well, you do seem to have, you're not exactly the same guy every single day. It seems like you have variety of snacks on the show. You have different kinds of nuts, different sandwich.
Right now I'm eating the Planters Duo peppercorn, pistachios, and Parmesan cashews.
Wow. This is good. My stomach hurts just thinking about it.
Are you not a nuts guy?
Oh, I'm very much a nuts guy, but not with all kinds of cheese and crap on it. Just a nut. Give me a nut.
I love nuts.
I'd like to fist my nuts.
I love nuts. I like all different sizes of nuts.
Yeah, I heard that about you. You get nuts.
Like the Brazil nuts are too big, though.
Yes, I hate it when you can't get the nuts in your mouth. Wow,
Adam Curry.
I know. It's Friday. I've had a good morning. Yeah, I got to tell you,
you're
man.
In trouble.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm always in trouble for something. Hey, congratulations to Barry releasing his Podhome app.
Got to get him on the show.
Did you see the Podhome app?
Mm-mm.
Man, it's a nice looking app.
Hadn't even had time. I'll download it right now.
Yeah, he's really taken full advantage of the APIs, and I don't know how he gets trending. He may be doing that himself, but he put something in called Podcast Pulse. And it's
I did see that.
Yeah, and it's literally pod ping. So you just see boom, 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 just new shows flying everywhere. Talk about a discovery mechanism. I've always loved that. I've loved the tiles.podping.cloud, I think.
Yeah, that's watching the aquarium.
Yeah. Yeah, it's watching the aquarium. It's so fun. And you can see different days of the week. I mean, if you do it at midnight, you see all the shows that update at midnight. There's a lot of shows that automatically update at midnight. And then do it on a Sunday morning. It's like the whole church world is just boom, 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 bing, ping, 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 ping. Everyone's updating.
It's very much so. Yes. Where's under Discover. Oh yeah. Episode Pulse.
Yeah. Is it Episode Pulse? Is that what it's called?
You need a premium membership. Okay. I'll pay you money.
You gotta get a premium, baby. You gotta get the premium membership. Yeah.
Real time. I'm paying you money real time, Barry.
Yeah. That's Wait, cool. Where, yeah. Get him. We need Barry on the show. We have to again ask him how it's possible that he's doing all this so cheaply. It's amazing.
Wait, it says I'm a premium member. How can I be a premium member if I've never
subscribed? Well, you're the Pod Sage. Of course, you're the Pod Sage by definition is premium. You are premium, baby.
It doesn't know. Wait, I may have just found a bug.
No, I think he already set us up for premium. Did you use your email address?
No.
He's probably in the room next door. Knowing Barry, he could be there. It's a handsome
the Pulse.
App.
I like the Pulse. It's well, cool, I want. Right? I don't want. I, if this was some. If some Barry, if you did this somehow, I do not want your charity. I want to pay you money. So I, by definition, I pay for all the podcast apps that I use. So.
Right on. I actually used for the first time. Podcast Guru updated, and now you can connect your Strike wallet. That was a very enjoyable experience.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. You just tap on it and then it takes you to an OAuth login and you type in your strike.me credentials.
Yeah.
You type in your email address. They send you an email to verify, which is always nice. And then boom, it's done. And so I boosted this week in Bitcoin. Sent a boost to Graham to see if he sees that, because of course the metadata thing is all over the map. So we'll see. But I'll find out next week if he got my boost.
Man, this is a.
And I boosted him an extra 10,000 sats as a penalty boost for using the term pod.
Oh, who on This Week in Bitcoin?
Yes, a huge Chris violation. Used that. Huge violation.
Chris ought to know better. That's just unacceptable.
It's unacceptable, I tell you. Yeah. But, just on hosting for a moment, there's been a lot of talk in the podcast industrial complex about Riverside now offering hosting. And I'm just smiling at this. I'm just laughing because you and I both know what's going to happen. I don't think Riverside understands what hosting is. Yeah, you can have an interface to upload, and you can generate an RSS feed. But the two things of hosting are number one, stats. Stats. Yep. Number one is stats. You're gonna have to have stats, baby. If you don't have stats, you can't just have a couple of pie charts. No. You got to have all these incredibly detailed stats that ultimately mean absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got to have that. That's barrier to entry, and then you need customer support. If you don't have customer support, you're not going to retain customers.
Customer support will blow you up.
Yep.
It is the biggest thing because how many percentage of podcast hosting company customers
know what they're doing?
Actually know what they're doing. I mean, it's got to be less than 50%.
Yeah, I think it's low. I know that RSS.com, I think they have 20 people, not all full time, but they have 20 people around the world to keep a constant manned station. But that's what it is. That's what people are really paying for. And I'm sure Barry is, now Barry has a lot of stuff AI generated automatic. And so, you just kind of throw your file up there and then it spits out something, generates even art and all the stuff you would want. So he may have less of that, but I know he's very hands-on. I think he's also, he's somehow independently wealthy.
Okay. That always helps.
He, I mean, like, he has something. I think he did like some online courses that are just making him money, like a Fleetwood Mac album, you know, just keeps on generating cash forever.
All you need is one Rumors. And then everything else is gold after that. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Or tapestry.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's all you need. So we had a really great day this morning. And I'm saying this for a reason, because I think Apple is listening and they're moving closer. You know, there's this whole conversation about how they are now incorporating TuneIn, like some at arm's length TuneIn partnership.
I heard them talking on Power about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was at Podcast Movement, Teddy H, he came up to me and he said, Teddy H. He said, you know, I listened to your Hello Fred station in Apple Music. Mm-hmm. I said, what? He says, oh, yeah. No,
but if it's
if it's in TuneIn, now it's available on Apple Music. So a couple things I'm thinking here. One, that's an acquisition target for them. Because TuneIn has they have a business model. I think they're a dead company, but they are a money machine, because in order to get my Hello Fred station on TuneIn, which makes it available in Sonos and smart speakers, it costs $65 a month. I mean, it's very expensive.
Tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like TuneIn has great cash flow, but probably a ton of debt.
Well, that's a good question. Yes, I think you're right. Let's take a look. TuneIn. What was the? It's who tracks that? What's that? What's that tech website?
TechCrunch.
Yes, TechCrunch. Thank you. Let's take a look. TuneIn TechCrunch. They always. Yeah. Here we go. TechCrunch. Let me see. They usually have a page for that. Let me see. TechCrunch TuneIn investments. I thought that was TechCrunch that did that. Yeah, here we go. So let's see. $25 million round. But that, when was that? That's a while ago. Oh, no, wait. Ooh, no, that's 2013. So they have a lot
James
of these.
James has an article from December of last year saying that they've never made a profit.
Well, I think they were just people heavy, you know, because it's like one of these companies where it's a really simple business. It's a really good one, too. Just maintain a database of all the live radio stations. You know, they got sidetracked and they built a whole podcasting wing, and then they got rid of that. Let me see. Crunchbase. That's what it is. Hold on.
Crunchbase.
That's what I'm looking for.
Silicon Valley investor.
Here we go. Okay. Cloudflare, however, does have to verify my session to make sure I'm not some kind of scammer. Okay. Let's see. When did they get... they've changed the interface to make it completely okay. So now if you don't pay for TechCrunch, you can't see. But they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rounds of investment. The last one that TechCrunch or the Crunchbase has, 12 actually, is November 23rd, 2020. But I can't see the amount of money raised. Well, I can join Crunchbase for free. Hold on. Woo, baby.
Oh, join it for free. The show.
And Crunchbase can now access everything on my Google account. Yay. Continue. Let me see. What do I have? Okay. All right, next. Okay, sales prospecting. Okay, I don't want to try it out.
This sounds like my horrible guess is that they have.
Here we go.
They've raised a lot of money, have a lot of debt.
Okay, listen to this.
Okay,
going back to 2006, Series A. That's $1.4 million. That's just a starter. Then they made a mistake and did a venture round at 1.6, that really hurts your market cap. So then in 2009, they did another Series A at 500, then a Series B for $852 million. No, $852,000. Sorry. Then a Series C for $6 million. A Series D for $16 million. Another venture round for $25 million. Then in 2015, they raised $50 million. A Series F. Then a Series G for $43 million. And then undisclosed amount of money in 2020.
So their equity is so spread out, nobody's going to make any money off
this. And they have another round scheduled. So their cap table is totally screwed. So total funding, $146.6 million.
That's what James's article here says. LinkedIn is littered with evidence of senior employees having left TuneIn. That's probably wise, because their equity got so diluted that it's just completely worthless. And so they're like, why stay around?
So they had the right idea, but they totally screwed it up, which is too bad, because anyway, so back to the Apple thing. So now, unfortunately, so there's good and bad news. The good news is Apple is seeing the value in having online radio stations. The bad news is they're putting it into Apple Music, which I'm sure is some kind of different silo from podcasts. And the reason I say this is today we had another great meeting, sold another Godcaster to another church who understands, hey, we can be the radio station, the digital station in our local market. In this case, it's Franklin, Tennessee. And what we've put together with Godcaster is this combination of live streams, which can be a live music stream, you know, any kind of live stream, and on demand. And then we have the patent-pended technology of channel streams, which creates a live stream out of all the podcasts you have in a certain player. And the cool thing is that we automatically generate an RSS feed that has the lit tag in it. Mm-hmm. And this pastor, Darren, he's like, oh, wow. He says, this is really cool. So now I'm a publisher in podcast apps. And, so of course Apple doesn't show the lit tag, but man, think of the opportunity here for Apple and even Spotify. They're not listening. Apple listens, where they can be an outlet for digital stations that include on demand. So the podcast, as well as the live stream through the lit tag. This is redefining radio. And it's redefining it in a way that a whole different category of players of entities can come into the space and become a modern radio station, where you have the serendipity of listening. And of course, the way we have it in the Godcaster app, when you're listening to something, it shows that we have a cookie trail back to what you're listening to. So if you're listening to, I have a station, Adam's Favorite Podcast, and you're listening, if you hear Podcasting 2.0, it says view this station, so you can see all the other programs I have available in my station, or view this program takes you right back to Podcasting 2.0. This is something really different for radio. And I'm not going to say we designed this. This was vibe coding all the way amongst a couple of dudes. Just like, I think I'll do this. And
this is what radio needs to evolve into.
Yes. At the local level, it's dynamite.
Yeah. And when you bring the lit tag in, this is, I wrote that blog post about a month ago or so. This really is, if you support the tag, as you begin to support the new tags, you begin to blur the lines between live and on demand, because it all just becomes sort of one thing in the app. Mm-hmm. You're flipping back and forth between, I'm live now, and now I'm listening to an on demand episode, and so you're like, there's no longer this sort of stark distinction between the two experiences that you get when you have, like, the way it's mostly been done, when you have to go, when radio stations just chop up their stream and stick and create separate podcasts. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to go, I got to go to this station's website and listen to the live stream and hit the listen live button. But if I want to hear a past episode of something, I got to go find their app on an app store and download that.
Yeah.
It's like they're two completely different experiences, but they're not, but with the live item tag, they don't have to be. Like, exactly. You can all be in the same, it can all be in a podcast app.
And so again, the good news is Apple is seeing the value of live streams, but they're putting it in the wrong app. It needs to go into the podcasting app. And
Apple, they will support, they are going to put it in the podcast app.
I sure hope so.
I'm convinced that I would be, if they don't have live, if Apple doesn't have live item tag support in the main Apple podcast app within 2 years, I will be stunned.
2 years.
Yeah.
All right. Mark it down. Put it in the red book, everybody. 2 years. 2 years.
I bet you Teddy H has a prototype already rocked.
Teddy H. Teddy H. The mystery man. Teddy H.
Behind that beard.
That's right. There's a lot going on behind that beard, people. Yeah. I'm with you.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I just know it's going to happen.
Now, should we
it's
be
such a good experience?
Should we be putting publisher? Should these be publisher feeds of these stations that we're creating, or am I seeing that wrong? Because it's not their shows, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's just an aggregate. But man, it rocks so hard. It's like a big aha moment when you say, oh, and now you have a podcast feed, and you show them the feed and you open it up through the system formerly known as episodes.fm.
Yes. Now known as Plink. Pod.link.
Plink. Yes.
Pod.link.
And
this, I think Plink is actually another product.
And yeah, it is. And you show them like, oh, here's all the apps. Like, what? Yeah, and you just click and open. Now, of course, Apple and Spotify doesn't show the live stream. But when you show it to them in a Podcast Guru, Podverse, Fountain, etc., their eyes go wide like, wow, okay. So, yeah, and these episodes, they update automatically. What?
Sorry about that, Nathan. I didn't mean to besmirch you with a competitor's name. The church, yeah. Eric said the church could have a publisher feed. That's right. Yeah, the church for their content, and that's really where it should be is on the publisher dashboard.
Yeah, yes.
That you'd be able to spin those up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just like, I'm really encouraged by the momentum that I'm starting to see, because it feels like people are no longer like, podcasting 2.0. Why don't you get a focus group together and see that this thing's crap? Nobody wants this stuff. Like, I mean, that's what we were hearing 2-3 years ago.
Oh, I heard and it. Now, I heard it in podcast movements.
Yeah. Now people are just like, hey, we need fresh new things in podcasting. I mean, like, the apps already have everything. They have the basics. Everybody's already got everything. Like, yeah. There has to be some new ideas. And I'm really encouraged to see that there are the 2.0 tags that, you know, some of them have been around for 4 years now, 5 years going on, that they're starting to come to be actually put into use. And we've talked about this 100 times. You can't just look at usage metrics and say this particular tag was a failure. Now you can look at it structurally and say, okay, it's a failure. Like with the image tag, with the images tag, the previous one, you can say, okay, this thing just doesn't do enough to justify its existence. It can be better. And so, you know, let's re-engineer it to be a better job. Now that's a thing that makes sense. But if you just look at usage metrics and say, well, this tag is not being used very much, therefore we need to deprecate it or something like that. That to me, that is not a strong argument, because it can sometimes take a very, very long time.
Years. I would also recommend that just because I see the market and I see the response, hosting companies, consider marketing hyperlocal podcasting. You know, everyone has their own, their marketing message. Everyone has different ways of selling podcasting to potential people. But it was amazing to me.
Potential people?
Potential customers. Now, they may be people, but they may also be customers.
Right.
That is amazing to me.
Potential people.
That's show title. Potential people. There we go. Hold on. Potential people. There's a light bulb that I've seen go on over and over again when I say, hey, you don't have to be Joe Rogan. Just the podcast, you can do something for your town, for your club, for your group, for your church, for your school. And it doesn't have to be this, you don't have to be going for swinging for the fences. In fact, you're unlikely to succeed. But people don't even think of podcasting this way. They think, I got to be like Rogan. I got to be big. It's a light bulb that goes on that is baffling because it seems so obvious to us. We've been around for a while, but when you say it to somebody, they go, oh, really? Yes, really. You can do that. Oh, I never thought of it that way. So yeah. And there's a pretty good chance that you will get local people to sponsor your endeavor. People who you already know. Really? Yeah, give it a try. And I have email after email from people saying, hey, I heard it, man. I set up a podcast and I'm doing my, talking with the guy from the Commerce, the Commerce Board or the Chamber of Commerce in our town, Virginia. And people really like it because businesses are listening and people who want to know what's on the calendar, the event calendar. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I copy pasted my hyperlocalpodcast.com primer that I wrote, more than a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
And I put it into Substack and I hadn't even finished it. I've done like two things on this Substack ever. And I've had it for a couple of years.
I didn't even know you had a Substack.
Exactly. And I just hit publish and like, oh crap, it didn't carry over the links. So I'll add those in later. All of a sudden, I hear James on Pod News. Adam Curry has published a hyperlocal podcast primer. Like, what? So somehow, by hitting publish on Substack, that showed up on his radar. I thought that was rather interesting. And I didn't do anything. I just hit publish. And that was a mistake. I should have kept that as a draft. And I still haven't put the links in.
Hyperlocal. I don't know. Do you know the business journals? Do you know this outfit? It's a biz journal, B-I-Z with a, B-I-Z journals.com.
No.
So they're like a collection of, local business. It's an online magazine, but they're focused on each individual region, city. So Birmingham has one. The Birmingham Business Journal, the Dallas Business Journal, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Well, then they sort of wrap all their stories, and they have reporters and stuff for them. Then they sort of wrap all this content up into bizjournals.com, and then you see sort of like a view of everything. But then, you subscribe. They have subscribers in each. You subscribe to your local version of this thing. But then they also have advertisers from local businesses. And that kind of stuff. And it's a viable, good business. Hmm. So when you focus on local, there's always a lot of there's a lot more value to in local. What am I trying to say? When it comes to advertising, there's a lot more value in a local thing than there is in some sort of national advertising. Because what's the numbers? It's something like, how many tens of thousands of small businesses are there in this country? in talking about U.S. centric, but I'm sure it's this way all over the place. There's just always 100x more local businesses than there are regional or national businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There's just the numbers are just so much larger as far as the total. So if you focus on local, you're always going to have a much more stable advertising base than if you try to do some national deal. So if you start a hyper local podcast, I'm sure you can find sponsors. And I know you can, because there's always going to be the local car dealership and the local restaurants and the local law firms. And they're always going to be plenty of those sources of sponsorship and advertising to support a decent local business. And I mean, if you're a church looking for a sponsorship for your podcast, local content, you know, there's going to be local Christian bookstores and all this.
It'll cover your costs. For real. It'll cover your costs. Definitely.
And it's just so much easier. It seems so much easier than trying to do some sort of national or ambiguously non-regional podcast.
Oh, and it's more fun too, because people in your hood will be listening. It really is.
Like, we had this, everybody's got some version of a local celebrity that, you know, for us, like we have, for years we had Cousin Cliff. He was the guy on local TV that, like, he was like, he would dress up like a clown and do the kids show in the morning.
Yeah.
And
creepy, but okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's totally creepy. And then, but people support, you know, he always had advertising. He had the local car dealership was his main guy, you know, main supporter. And it just, if you're trying to be the next Cousin Cliff, just seems like a lot more straightforward proposition than trying to be the next Joe Rogan.
Of course. Of course. Absolutely.
But I mean, it's just so easy to pull that trigger now and start, you know, with how quick it is to spin up a podcast. They're just so, you can be, with the way hosting companies are now, you can be live with a podcast and published in all platforms within a day.
I don't know how I got here from the biz journals, but Alabama has three cities in the top 10 of most dangerous cities in America.
Oh yeah, Birmingham is like top three.
You've dropped out of the top three. You're number seven. Bessemer is number one.
That's a city right next to Birmingham.
Mobile is number two.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Birmingham dropped down number seven. What, did Trump come to town? Did he bring in the National Guard? Did he clean stuff up for you?
Wow. It's funny because all those numbers, the crime statistics for Birmingham, all the trouble is usually within like one geographic area. It's like one little pocket of Birmingham.
Yeah. That's the place. If you've ever watched The Wire, that's the place where eventually it'll burn down. And then before you know it, you got a stadium. Luxury condos.
You know, it's funny because we don't like the city of Birmingham. It feels super safe, but the crime statistics are just like we as a Birmingham resident. You look there, you look at the crime statistics, you're like, really? Wow, I'm not feeling that. You know,
I'm sure you live in the very safe white part of town, Dave Jones.
Absolutely not. I absolutely do not live in the safe white part of town. We live literally like downtown, downtown.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. No, you're fine. I think it's probably every city has, or of any size has the area where you just, it's just prone to crime, you know?
So just two quick words about video.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, James Cridland is now doing, I guess he finally got a Rodecaster. I wonder if the Aussies gave one to him for free. They've never given me anything. They give all the YouTubers all the free gear.
He's probably an advisor.
Well, yeah, they don't. I love their products. I buy them. I love their products.
We still have to figure out if we can do the direct connection thing.
You know, I got the most recent update, and I tried it with a web browser, and you know, so you scan the QR code on the screen. That's the link. You send that to somebody. They can log in. Worked beautifully once.
And then, that second time's a killer.
Yeah, every single time after that, it would be like, I hit answer, and then, you know, and then it just wouldn't connect. Even though on the phone, on the browser, it said connected, and it was sending packets. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll reboot the machine, try it again. We will try it. People think it's a good system. I'm very partial to CleanFeed, though. I'm a very loyal client.
That means I'll have to plug my Ethernet cable back into my Roadcaster.
No, it did it on Wi-Fi. It worked on Wi-Fi for me. Eesh. Oh, yeah, you don't have Wi-Fi. I'm sorry. You're against Wi-Fi. You're anti-Wi-Fi. You hate Wi-Fi. You hate Wi-Fi. You're anti-RF. You're an RF bigot. RF bigot. Yeah.
RFK.
Anyway, so James has started doing a video version of Pod News daily report, and which of course I watched, you know, and he's, I know it's just testing. As a longtime listener and sat streamer of Pod News, I hate it. And the reason why is
because I just like it when you hate stuff.
I really hate it because his whole read is different. You know, watch the video and he's looking at the script off to the side. So either he needs a teleprompter, which is a whole nother can of worms, or some, you know, has to position the camera or something. So he's not even looking at the camera. And that's all right. I don't want to see the video. I want to listen to it. And his audio production was, I love his audio production. He's more close mic'd. It's a different type of read. And that's all gone now. And it just feels kind of a little soulless, what it is now.
He's without soul. Yeah.
You shall not podcast without soul. You know, so it's just like, the audio product is really, really, really good. And I really like it, especially when he forgets to edit a pickup. That's the funniest. Yeah,
I'm trying. Is it on? Yeah. Here it is on YouTube.
It's just a different read, which is understandable. You know, but to me, it subtracts from the value of that I got from the audio, the pure audio production. I like hearing a report. Give me a report. I want that report. Here's Pod News report Monday. Time for some tech stuff. Whatever. I like it.
Do you think it's because he's looking at the camera?
Well, but it's an edited product. He, or however he does it, I presume that he does pickups and other things, but he's focused really on the read, and now he's further from the mic. He's, it's just a different read when you're reading in one go, because he has to do it all in one go. He can't edit the video. He's trying to do it all live to tape, which is fine. But I like the other. I like the other way as an audio product. I'm not going to watch the video. You know, I don't. I just want to hear the I just want the information, man.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
So the second thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, do you remember when we? You know, I used to record myself as a way to test in a tube with alternate enclosure.
Yes.
And I would record myself doing this show, and I could fire that back up and we could do HLS.
Yeah. You do whatever you want to do, bro.
Okay, bro.
I'm not going to participate in that, brother. I'm not going to participate in that.
Maybe
nonsense.
Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll fire up another feed.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to help.
Well, here,
trying to be helpful.
So here's the second piece of the news. Two surprising facts about platform consumption in 2025 from Sounds Profitable. Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
Well, Essentially, the stats confirm suspicions about YouTube. It's not necessarily about being on video. YouTube is just a really good app for podcast consumption. The app provides great search and discovery, community engagement, but here is the stat that might surprise you, dispels the myth that video is eating the world. It is certainly true that a slight majority of YouTube podcast consumers say they watch more than half of their podcasts. 19% say they watch 51 to 75%, plus the 34% who say they watch more than 75%. But that means that just only under half use YouTube to listen, even if the podcast is a video podcast.
Huh.
People are listening to podcasts. So
it's I think it's the definition of what a podcast is.
Well, I've given up on that conversation.
No, I don't mean it in that way. Like, I mean something different by that. I realize what it sounded like, but what I'm saying is something different. What I'm saying is, like, I think when you, a podcast is a particular thing, like, and I'm not even talking about RSS. At this moment, like, what I'm saying is that if I say I'm listening to a podcast, it means something specific. It means like a particular type of content that is geared toward a listening experience.
Mm-hmm.
I like James's description where he says something to do with your ears while your eyes are busy. I think the most of the podcast consumption is something, it falls under that category. It is something you're listening to while you're occupied with something else. Nobody just sits down on the couch and listens to a podcast and stares at the wall.
Agreed.
Like, you're listening to a podcast while you listen to a podcast in the same way you would listen to an audiobook. It's an experience that is, it's a sidecar experience. It's a thing that you do alongside another thing. Whereas YouTube videos are not like that.
Right.
YouTube videos are something that you are intentionally watching, like you watch television or some other experience. And this, the reason I'm digging in on this is because this was a topic of debate, slightly heated topic of debate when we defined the video medium. So for the podcast medium tag, there's different mediums. You have audiobook, music, mm-hmm. podcast, now you have radio. You have various mediums meant to define this is the content, this is the type of content that is being delivered. And so one of those mediums is video. And the podcast medium tag is designed to
deliver a different experience in an app.
Right. It's not defining the media format. It's defining the media type. And that's confusing, but
yes. I remember this. I remember this conversation.
Yeah, and so I think this is becoming important again because the medium is a distinctive. If you have Pod News Daily, that is a podcast medium. If you have Joe Rogan's video, let me make a different example. If you have some show by the Daily Wire, is that Dave Rubin?
He's on Daily Wire. What, Shapiro, Daily Wire.
I can't keep.
No, Ruben. I think is Ruben Daly. Ruben may be Blaze. I think
Daily. What? Let's say Ben Shapiro's show. That is, even though it can be an audio, if you can also publish it as a video medium, and the video medium is a specific experience. You're watching. It's what you're doing is you're telling the audience this what this type of thing is designed for. This is going to be an audiobook experience. This is going to be a podcast experience. This is going to be a video experience. Whatever the main experience is supposed to be, that's what you're putting into the video medium. So I think this is going to become more important as we get into HLS stuff, so that we can define in the feed what this thing is supposed to be. And ideally what you're defining is the most appropriate experience.
Right.
Because what you can have music, like a music album delivered by in an RSS feed without defining a medium of music, and it'll still work. It just won't be a great experience because the tracks will be all out of order. Mm-hmm. They'll mark themselves as played every time you finish it, so that you go back and now the track is gone. It's a real clumsy, weird experience. So you define, you say, okay, this is a music medium, so that the app knows, okay, don't do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The app knows to download all the tracks, which are items in the feed. Download all the tracks. And don't do all the normal podcasty type stuff to it. treat it like a music album. And so the same thing is going to happen, needs to happen with the medium equals video. Now the app knows, okay, this is a video first experience. And that means something. That means that the audience is intended to watch this thing. Their eyes are going to be on the app. So there should be like a more of an emphasis on what is happening on the screen, like maybe chat or comments. That it is a visual first experience. And I think we need to keep that in mind as people are talking about HLS support, specifically video HLS support, because that's what that thing was made to be.
Agreed. Agreed.
Do you see, what I mean? I mean, it's because it seems dumb. I agree. It seems dumb. Why do you describe medium equals video? The video is just the format of the file being delivered, and it can be a video podcast. Well, yeah, but I think that's the reason I started thinking about this is what you were just defining, what you were just saying about actual consumption patterns is that it's what we knew all along, that podcasts are a thing that you listen to while you're doing the experience of listening to a podcast is a particular consumption form.
Yes.
And the experience of watching a video, a YouTube style video thing is not the same as that. And you want to be able to define to your audience, this is the way I intend this thing to be consumed. It doesn't mean you have to. You could do something. You could do different. You can turn your screen off on YouTube and just listen to it, but it's kind of lame. And the same thing with this other thing. It's like, well, you can consume this HLS video content in your podcast player in some other way besides watching it. That's fine, but it's just not going to be that great. You really hate this video talk, don't you?
It's just like.
This is painful for you.
Well, I just feel bad that everyone somehow believes that that people just think a podcast is video, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't even matter that my show is not on Spotify. People don't care. Oh, it's not on Spotify. Okay, I'll use this other app. That's fine. They want the content. If they want the content, they will come to your house and ask for a CD.
That's true. This is true.
Yeah. I mean, they'll do anything. So it ultimately comes down to the content. This is what I've noticed with the Godcaster. It's like, where is it? Oh, it's on the church homepage. Okay. I'll just go there. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They don't care. It's all the same. People don't know they have a web browser anymore. I got the DuckDuckGo. You know, I just type in what I want and then I'm there. I don't know. What's a web browser? I don't know. It's just, I got DuckDuckGo or I got Google. I used to use Google. Now I use DuckDuckGo. I hear it's safer. This is literally the conversations I have. And these are not old fogey people. These are 35-year-olds.
Yeah. No, I mean, have you noticed Google is just like, I'm seeing all these horror stories of websites whose traffic are down 60, 70%.
Oh, of course.
Because there's no more organic searchers. Clicks.
No, everybody's using search. I mean, Google, their money is not actually on Google search anymore. I'm saying that as a blanket statement. I don't actually know that, but I know that people are just getting answers.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they're getting answers and I mean, Anthropic and Grok and others, they will show you, okay, I looked at 20 websites, and if you go back, you can then say, all right, and let me click on this. Sometimes
it's a little icon. Yeah, but nobody does. Nobody's ever going to do that.
No, they just take the answer. Like, oh, that's the answer. SEO is dead. Everything is dying.
Google's just using all, they're just using all the content they scraped into their large language model to give the answer directly on their search result page.
Exactly.
So that you don't have to click through the actual website. Like, I heard somebody say, the other day when they automated the blue collar jobs, nobody cared. But now that they're automating the white collar jobs, everybody's losing their mind. It's true. But I mean, I don't really understand I don't want to say legality because that's not really, I mean, these behemoth companies just do whatever they want. They don't they don't care and they don't ask anybody's permission.
No. Oh, remember it's even worse. It's like, no, that's all fair use. The internet has different rules.
Yeah, right.
Was that the Microsoft guy?
If you just type in a typical developer question, difference between, I'll type something like this: JavaScript, difference between client width and offsite width.
I know what that's offsite about. Width. Yes.
So you type in something like that. You're going to get a result, an answer from AI right in Google's search result page at the very top.
Yep.
And right underneath it will be the first hit will be a Stack Overflow answer that Google's LLM has just reworded and played right back to you.
Well, so that's why Stack Overflow, I'm not sure, but Reddit, that's why they're a public company and doing quite well, is because they said, no, you can't scrape us. You can buy it from us. And so Reddit's whole business model is on selling the content generated by its users. Here's the Microsoft guy, Microsoft AI CEO LMNOP.
With respect to content that is already on the open web, the social contract of that content since the 90s has been that it is fair use. Anyone can copy it, recreate with it, reproduce with it. That has been freeware, if you like. That's been the understanding. There's a separate category where a website or a publisher or a news organization had explicitly said, do not scrape or crawl me for any other reason than indexing me so that other people can find that content. That's a gray area, and I think that's going to work its way through the courts.
Yeah, bull crap.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
That's the arrogance though.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, well, no, that's the social contract, buddy.
Well, now okay, so you, like the example you gave of Reddit. So that makes sense for Reddit that they could sort of pivot into chart and being a content farm for the LLMs mm-hmm. and still make a pretty good living.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to be the case for a site like Stack Overflow.
No,
these LLMs are going to destroy Stack Overflow. It's going to disappear.
I think that they already had that controversy. I think people were leaving Stack Overflow or locking their accounts or something. Mm-hmm. Let me see, Stack, something like that. Stack Overflow, angry users, AI LLM ? Okay, let's see. Yes. There was Stack Overflow bans users en masse for rebelling against OpenAI partnership. Users banned for deleting answers to prevent them from being used to train ChatGPT. This happened about a year ago.
They made a deal with OpenAI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do they get paid out of that deal?
Oh, of course. Of course they do.
How much, I wonder?
I don't know if that was disclosed. Stack Overflow OpenAI deal. Let's see what we get. API partnership with Stack Overflow. Let's see if anyone has any numbers on it. I don't think there's numbers.
Eric's right. It's too late. It's too late to. You can't pivot after the fact.
No.
Once they have the content, it's already in the model. Yeah. It's just done.
It was already there. Yeah, they're just having an argument for argument's sake, but it was already done.
Yeah, and once it's in, I mean, and that's just OpenAI. I mean, if it's in, you know, Llama, or one of these other ones, I mean, you're screwed.
Yeah,
you're just screwed. And the thing, there's like a cutoff point where, once the answers become dependable enough to where you don't really go to those other sites anymore, then the content, then the production of new content to answer new answers, just to answer new questions, just stops.
Yeah.
Because nobody, what will happen is people will go, they'll try to find the answer to a question, a problem they're having. The AI won't be able to answer it completely. And then they'll just give up and go do something else. Like there's not a, whereas in the past, like you would post to different sites. You would have this discussion going about how to solve this problem. And you would eventually land on an answer most of the time. But I think this new paradigm, the fact that the answer is so readily available through an LLM result now means that they are going, the net effect is it's going to basically freeze everything in time. And there's going to come a point, you know, it's probably already passed, where there's just not going to be any more answers to new questions because there's no play, because the LLM can't generate new content. It can only scrape what's already out there. And everything's going to be frozen around 2024 timeline.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. And of course, I should actually start posting my vibe coded code so the LLMs can ingest that and they'll collapse the model even faster.
Yeah. Oh, I've already blocked, like, blocking all the scrapers.
Yeah. Do you seeing a lot of what you consider to be LLM traffic?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, we, you know,
hey, we should sell that data, man.
Yeah, I'm blocking AI crawler bots all over the place. Like, I'm seeing it's really hurting like small niche websites.
Oh yeah.
Like there's a really good website that I use a lot called Fordification, FORD. It's for old Ford truck people. And tons and tons, like this thing's been around forever. I don't know, 15 years.
It looks like it. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it still has that website builder template. I'm surprised it doesn't have blink tags.
It's marquee.
Marquee, yes.
Let's see. Click on forums.
Forums. Work. Yes, forums.
Oh, it actually came up this time. It goes down the forums. It's all PHP BB.
Oh,
forums.
Yeah.
it goes down multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Well, and I know what it is. It's the AI crawlers. Oh, they're just killing it.
Yeah.
Because and this website, if you're an old Ford truck person, this website has answers to almost everything you could possibly imagine. It is like the Bible of 60s to 70s Ford trucks.
Yeah, the first post. Whenever I try to access from the link on the homepage, the following error occurs. Internal server error. The server encountered internal error or misconfiguration, was unable to complete your request. It used to work back in 2019 all the time. What's going on with you guys? Yeah. Whenever you see viewtopic.php ? You know that's going to be in trouble.
That's the thing, is they're just the scrapers are just hurt. They're killing things.
Ah, it's so sad. It's bad.
Because they want the answer. They're pilfering all of the content off of this site, and it's just it's gross.
Yeah.
I'm angry about it.
As you should be. Yes. Especially for the Ford community, the Ford flatbed truck community.
But luckily, Microsoft sent me an email this morning about new features in Notepad.
Oh, do tell. Do they have, is that little, that irritating icon popping up? The co-pilot?
I don't know how Microsoft is the largest company in the world, $4 trillion market cap. And the things they do make absolutely no sense. They're a completely schizophrenic company. I don't even know. I've never, to my knowledge, received an email from Microsoft. So I don't know how I got on any sort of list. And the first time I've ever received an email from Microsoft, it's about new features in Notepad. How does that even, like,
what features do you need to add? It's Notepad. The beauty of Notepad is just Notepad. Notepad is supposed to have the following action items: file, edit, now. Format, view, and help.
It's got tabs now.
Oh, no.
Ludwig von Mises talked about the crack up boom. It feels like we're living through the crack up boom.
The crack up boom?
Yeah. It's a monetary phenomenon where things begin to get so expensive that that's when things begin to break down because it's as inflation begins to accelerate, the cracks begin to form. But this feels like a sort of like a technology version of the crack up boom, where AI has just caused the whole thing to fracture. Nobody even knows what they're doing anymore.
The crack up boom?
Yeah.
I've not heard of this.
It's, I like it. I think it's in Human Action. He defines it. The crack up boom is a term in Austrian economics coined by Ludwig von Mises, characterized by hyperinflation and a flight from a collapsing currency into real assets.
Meanwhile, if there was someone out there, I've asked Comic Strip Blogger this multiple times, but he could never make it happen. Maybe it was just too early in the life cycle of large language models, but take our database. You can download it, follow the links to transcripts, ingest for a couple of months, and create the best kick-ass podcast discovery large language model on the planet Earth.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if I type in, if I go to Grok, for instance, without using the term no agenda, let's see, find three podcasts and give me their URLs that discuss news media by two middle-aged men. I'm trying to describe no agenda without saying no agenda. By two middle-aged men who podcast twice a week. Now, is that enough description to find no agenda?
You'll get in the ballpark.
Want me to add something?
One of them's a journalist, but
one of
a journalist
them must be
and a DJ
journalist, and the the other a DJ. Okay, let's see what Grok does. Super Grok. I'm sorry, it's not just Grok; it's Super Grok. Okay, the request is to find three podcasts with news and media topics. It's thinking, Dave. It's thinking. Each podcast should be hosted by two middle-aged men, one a journalist, the other a DJ. It's still thinking. It's going. They must podcast twice a week, and the host should be between 40 and 60 years old. Let's search for podcasts matching this specific description to meet the request. I can see it looking at podcast.apple.com, open.spotify.com, podcast.feedspot, youtube.com, and has 20 others. Initial search results didn't find much directly relevant, so we need to dig deeper. Oh, hold on.
To dig deeper.
Okay. A new search query is being crafted. Podcast hosted by a journalist and DJ discussing news and media twice a week with middle-aged men included. Now it's browsing. Oh, it's going too fast for me. It's just flipping through websites. It's doing all kinds of stuff. What is happening? And remember, I also asked for the URLs because I know that I've tried this before, and it will mm-hmm. give me URLs to mm-hmm. things that don't exist. Yes.
Is this agentic? Is this actually doing web searches in the background?
Yes, it's agentic AI. Some podcasts, this is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yes, here it is. Some podcasts, like The Rest Is Politics, discuss politics, but lack a DJ host. Screen Grab, hosted by Michael Schneider and Joe Adlian, covers TV commentary. Let's consider radio shows, as many have DJ. So it's never going to find it. It's just not going to find it. And think of the cycles. How much compute am I using here?
This goes nowhere.
It's pathetic. Oh my goodness. It's still thinking.
Do you want with agentic stuff, as a platform owner, if you have some sort of website, do you really want agentic LLM powered software sort of crawling all over your website trying to do stuff?
No, that creeps me out to no extent. No, but we're literally making the entire database available. I mean, hello?
Yeah.
FTP, anybody?
FTP.
It's still thinking, Dave. It's still thinking. It'll never stop. It's on npr.org, wnyc.org. It's got 30 websites. It's now crawling. Crawling.
NBC? Is that what you said? NBC?
No. It already scrolled off. I can't see. Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever seen one of these things just go into like a nonsense loop? So if you use Open Web UI.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've used that, right? Open Web UI, it lets you have access, like Ollama, it lets you have access to all the different models.
Yes, I have.
So it'll show you.
I've been on my Start 9, is where I have that. Okay. Yeah.
It gives you a little drop down box. When you ask a question, you can drop the box down and this little wedge under the question, and it'll show you all the things that it's doing internally.
Yes, that's what I was just reading. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the little wedge. Yeah.
I was using DeepSeek a few weeks ago. Actually, it's part of my day job to develop some software. And it started like debating with itself.
Yeah. I've seen
about
that.
How it was going to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it went off the rails. I just let it run just to see what was going to happen. It was talking to itself for 3 hours.
Well,
and it devolved into where it was just like
in a loop.
It was in a loop and it was getting more. It was complete. It was like watching entropy in front of display itself.
So Super Grok thought for 3 minutes and 13 seconds. I was unable to find three podcasts that exactly matched all the criteria. Each hosted by two middle-aged men, one a journalist, the other a DJ, discussing news and media, releasing episodes twice a week. Despite searching various podcast lists, directories, and web sources, no exact matches turned up. That said, here are three podcasts that share some similarities, hosted by two men discussing news, politics, media, with at least one having a journalistic background and releasing episodes twice a week. They deviate from the journalist plus DJ host requirement, but may be of interest. Well, what do you think these are?
I'm sure it's just complete. They're probably made up. They probably
don't. No, they actually exist. The rest is politics. The news agents and Pod Save America. Well, you could not be further from the results.
None of those meet the criteria.
None of them. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's a good disaster.
It's sad. It's sad. I tell you, it's just sad. So anyway, but look at the opportunity, though. Everyone's saying, I'm looking for a podcast, man. We need discovery. Well, here's your opportunity, apps.
A podcast-centric LLM based on the index would be amazing. That's a niche.
But
somebody has to well
train.
Defined.
But see, that's the problem is they have to train the whole model on it. It's not working with agentic AI clearly.
No. That's a train wreck.
No.
If anybody wants to do that, hey man, I'll hook you up. I'll give you the entire database dump. I'm talking about the full thing with all the episodes and everything. The 200 gig download.
Okay, what is the best podcast in the universe? How about that? Let's just try that. Let's see the best podcast in the universe. It's a pretty broad question.
There is an answer.
There is an answer, of course. Do you want to know the answer? What is the best podcast in the universe?
No Agenda Show.
Wow, This American Life is the best podcast in the universe, apparently.
The one we can't index because they block us with their WordPress site. That is categorically not the best podcast in the universe.
It's hilarious. Now, all those high paid guys are all going to Grok now for some reason. $100 million AI experts. If AI is so smart, why do you have to hire kids for $100 million? Explain me that, please. What say you? Yeah.
Anyway. No, I'm totally on board with this. I think I was thinking about that very thing today is how to train an LLM on the index.
Hey, we could do it, man. But the training part is hard because you got.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand.
Well, because it costs a lot of compute and a lot of money. Okay, but we can, of course, ask. Tell me about Taylor Swift's wedding ring.
Oh yeah, that's a no-brainer. That's immediate.
Yeah, let's see. Here we go. Thinking. Okay. Oh, it's going to Vogue. Oh yeah, boom, there it is. Design and features. Yes. Oh yeah. There mm-hmm. you go. It's got everything. The sparkle, the overall style, the estimated value. Oh yeah. But you want that, it's there. No question asked. We're good to go.
We did get some feedback. Let's see who sent. Oh, Leslie Joyce sent this. Adam and Dave, can you two spend some podcasting 2.0 time talking about the difference between Podping and RSS Cloud? Mm. Both seem to be great ways to conserve energy and limit traffic. From here, they seem redundant, but I'm sure I'm missing details as I'm not a coder. Thank you for your time, Leslie Joyce.
Let's spend just a few minutes.
So you could lay out three different ways to do immediate feed updates. And these don't have to be podcast specific. They're just all three of these work with just RSS. Podping, RSS Cloud, and WebSub, which used to be called PubSub HubUb. RSS Cloud and WebSub are very similar. I mean, they're almost identical. Not sure exactly what happened there. I don't know why. I don't know why we needed it. You know, RSS Cloud was developed by Dave Weiner. WebSub, I think, was mostly developed by Julian Genisto. I think there was other people involved in PubSub HubUb as well. They're truly almost identical. They both are a subscription mechanism. So what you have, the idea is you have a hub, and the hub is a server that maintains a subscription list. And if a client system wants to know when a particular feed gets updated, you can send a message to the hub with a subscription request and say, I want to be pinged. I want to get a notification when this RSS feed updates.
Right.
And there's a challenge thing that happens that goes back and forth, where you get a challenge code and then you have to respond to the challenge code. It's a verification mechanism. And once you go back and forth and go through that handshake, now you're on the subscription list for a certain number of hours or days. Then
there's the problem right there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. The maintaining subscriptions to things just doesn't scale big enough.
Because you have to resubscribe every single time.
You got to constantly resubscribe, and you have to, and both sides have to be online at all times. The hub has to be online, up and running. Actually, all three parties need to be online. The hub has to be up and running. The publisher has to be sending notifications to the hub, and the receiver has to be online waiting for the webhook. So everybody has to be up and running constantly all the time, or else the message gets dropped. Podping is different than both of those. Podping uses the Hive blockchain, so it uses a set of API servers that hold the Hive blockchain. And so whenever a podping is sent, that update with the feed URL in it is written to the blockchain, to this public blockchain. Now you can have, as long as the update messages are being sent and written to the blockchain, then the clients that are reading the pod pings back to see when the updates have happened, they can do that anytime. They don't have to be online waiting for a webhook.
Right.
They can just go back and walk backwards through the blockchain and see every update that's ever happened. So that's the difference.
A beautiful, beautiful description. By the way, I entered the same query into ChatGPT. And I repeat, find three podcasts, give me their URLs, discuss news media by two middle-aged men who podcast twice a week. One of them must be a journalist, the other a DJ. And the number one is No Agenda.
Oh.
Now, when you look at the quick summary table, podcast name, No Agenda, host, Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, focus or genre, news and media deconstruction, scheduled twice a week, Thursdays and Sundays, journalist, no, DJ, no. Isn't that interesting? So we're not a journalist or a DJ.
Well, I mean, technically that's accurate.
Yeah, okay.
Especially since Booster Graham Ball is no longer on the air. You're not DJing. You got too many podcasts, brother.
Yeah, another one is coming.
Oh. You and Pastor Jimmy?
Yep. Yep. This is starting.
When's that one in the hopper?
We're going to record our first one next week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That'll be excited. Fun.
There'll be No Agenda with Jesus.
Nice. Okay.
Hey, let's thank some people here. We didn't get a lot of boost during the show.
didn't get any boost this week except for CSB. We got one.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on. Oh, I know. Bitcoin price drops. Oh, no, I can't spend that. I got to buy them. Buy the dip.
Everybody's buying the dip.
Buy the dip. But Martin Lindiskog always comes in, 1701. I got an idea for a hyperlocal podcast. Have you heard about the Johnsard chainsaw brand? Johnsard is an urban area with about 1,000 inhabitants. It's located near Gothenburg on the west coast of Sweden. Well, if you live there, then that's a great place to do a hyperlocal podcast.
Yep.
And that's it. That's it. Yeah. I hit the delimiter. Wow, crazy. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Not even a pre-show boost. Well, it's Labor Day weekend and people are going away, and I understand. It's okay. We love y'all.
We got some PayPals. We got some, these are monthlies mixed up because we didn't have very many. We got Jordan Dunville, $10.
Thank you, Jordan.
Dreb Scott, $15. Hey, thank you, Dreb.
Thank you, Dreb.
Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Thank you, Michael. And Chris Bernardic, $5. That's our PayPals. And we got Brother CSB comes in with a booster gram, 13,635 sats.
Wow. Thank you.
Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like to recommend the podcast This Week in Bitcoin by Chris Fisher, which is, quote, an independent investigative podcast covering Bitcoin, a high signal news podcast focused on analysis you'll find valuable, end quote. See also my new website, www.trading.toys. Yo, CSB. P.S. Adam.
Yes.
Kurva.
Kurva.
Tell Horowitz. Kurva.
Yes.
Tell Horowitz to add a transcript to DH Unplugged.
I've told him so many times.
What does kurva mean?
Kurva. It's kind of like crap in Polish, I think.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. Trading.toys. What is this? Satoshi Bitcoin click. Oh, it's a converter. So live Bitcoin price chart. Wow, 108.66. Oh, well, we're down, baby. We're down. Let me see.
An API for this would be good, CSB, if you can give me one.
Yeah.
Because I have a use for it.
Oh, okay. There you go. It has no information on API. We're getting boosts. Let's see. We got Fountain user 18342022503822 6.
Oh.
Have a dip of boost from the Volte. And the second boost, 100 sats. It's okay. Plus one on Twib. Chris LAS is a legend. He is indeed a legend.
He is a legend.
That's one of my go-to podcasts. I love listening to it. All right, everybody. Well, we do appreciate anything that you boost at all.
Slow weekend. Holiday weekend.
Yeah. But of course, you can go to podcastindex.org at the bottom. You scroll all the way down. There's a red donate button. You can use that for your PayPal fiat fund coupon donations. Everything goes to keeping the index running. And of course, all of your boosts and boostograms also stay on the node. If you need any liquidity, let me know. Happy to open the channel to you.
So. If I can finish this silly line of text bullcrap in the Godcaster app, I can get back to the thing.
To life.
Get to my whole life, you know, because I really have a couple of things I seriously need to do in the index. I mean, like, I really need to work on the index a little bit.
Do you want to tell everybody what the problem is? Maybe we can crowdsource a solution because this is driving you mad.
I already fixed it.
Oh, you fixed it?
I fixed it with JavaScript. The problem is, there's a fixed.
Wait, I have a couple of those.
Oh, good Lord.
There you go.
Yes, this perfect description. So there is a div. Front end web development blows, by the way. there is a div that is fixed position on the bottom of the viewport. This div contains a flex row, which the middle section, which this flex row contains three divs. The middle div of the flex row contains a flex column with three divs. The leftmost of the flex row, the leftmost div is fixed width. The rightmost div is also fixed width, so that when you expand and shrink the viewport, the middle div of the flex row resizes. It's the only thing that expands and contracts.
Mm.
Within that, the child of the middle section of the flex row is a flex column, and the bottommost div of that flex column contains a string of text. There is seemingly no way to make that text not overflow and push the rightmost div off the viewport.
When in portrait mode?
It's really in any mode. But when you're in responsive, mode, yeah, so it would be more like mode. If you're trying to be responsive, meaning you can, meaning you're always floating. So that applies to mobile. If you're being responsive, it will always push that right hand content off the viewport, and because you would have to set a max width on that middle section, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would have to say, you can go this big, but no bigger. But you don't know how big it can go because the screen can go, people can resize their browser to mm-hmm. be really big or really small.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't set a max size. Because if they shrink it down and the max size, if they shrink it down to 200 pixels wide and the max size is 100 pixels, well, then you've left space on the table. There's no way to know a fixed pixel size. So you need to use percentages. Percentages do not appear to work because the parent div containing div has to have a fixed width in order for the percentage to be based on the parent, but it can't have a fixed width because the parent also has to be responsive. This middle column of this nested flex set just doesn't, it's just uncontrollable. So the only thing I could do was put a hook on the viewport resize so that if anybody resizes the viewport, then you get a hook on it, an event listener, and then do a bunch of calculations to figure out how wide this thing should be and then just set it in JavaScript.
Wow.
It's horrible.
How mad did I make you when I vibe coded the answer and gave it to you?
I was only slightly irritated.
I'm like, he doesn't need this, but hopefully he can get a laugh out of it.
I did actually laugh because literally it gave you three possible answers. The yes. first two I had done 3 days ago. And the last one was do it in JavaScript. I'm like, that's what I'm doing right now. It's exactly what I'd already been through.
Yeah. Oh man, I felt bad doing it, but I couldn't resist. I'm like, try this Super Grok. It can help. I'm sure it can.
Yeah. All right. I think it should work, but I think it may just be like once you get enough nested stuff together like this, I think it just kind of doesn't. I'm not even going to call it a bug. I'm just saying behave. Like I think this is into the CSS world where behavior is undefined.
Mm.
Undefined behavior.
undefined behavior.
Yes.
All right, brother. So, well, hopefully you can get through that and then enjoy your weekend. You deserve it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're good. I'm all going right. fishing in the morning. Yeah.
But right now, we all know what you need to do.
What? What do I need to do?
You got to go clean up the kitchen, man, before the wife comes home.
Oh, I forgot about that. Crap.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much, Boardroom. I think Oystein Berg is coming up next. And we'll see you next Friday right here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
They're just Durga Durga Muhammad Jihad. Durga 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 Durga.